Right. All right. I got to know who is done with all of their Christmas shopping. Everybody done? Done? Who still has quite a bit left? Come on, throw it up there. Now, guys, you're telling me that I'm the only guy in the room that is not done Christmas shopping?
Is it December 24th yet?
Oh, you mean, okay, let me ask that again. Who has not started their Christmas shopping yet? Anybody in here? There we go. We know. I got to go up a little bit of time there this weekend, do a little bit of shopping. I had some time to spend last night, and I tell you, going up into Turkey Creek, driving around, it is crazy. I mean, it's like people just totally forgot how to drive. I mean, everybody's just here and there and everywhere, and we even found ourselves, like Nicole and I were going through, because our kiddos are all totally, totally different. Aubrey likes like the makeups and things, and I'm calling her the middle price range kid for Christmas, right? Like, she doesn't really want anything just like crazy expensive, but she has several things that she wants that are like middle of the road. Okay, so, you know, less than $100, you know, but not just like little knick-knacky stuff. And then you have Keone, and Keone does usually either says he doesn't want anything, or he wants like the big ticket, high dollar items, you know. Yeah, he's over there shaking his head. Yeah, last year, nothing. This year, two items that you're like, I may have to go get a loan for him. And then you have Kaysen, that just wants all the little tiny things, like everything's like 10 bucks or less, but he wants like 1,000 of them. You know, he walks through and he's like, I want that, and I want that, and I want that. Well, you got six of those. Yeah, but I want that, and I want that, and I want. And then there, the mass confusion comes in when you marry somebody that says everybody has to have the same dollar amount. And I'm like, wait a minute. So we go up and we're literally walking through. Is Kaysen in here? Yeah, he's in here. Okay, so I'm not going to give away the secrets, okay? But we're literally walking through the stores so my wife can try to find random stuff to get the dollar amount closer to what the other kids want. I'm like, he's going to have like 700 gifts compared to Keone's one or two or three. And she's like, I know, but it's got to be equal. It's got to be fair. And then just like the mass confusion comes in. So I'm literally walking around and everything just gets into a point where you're like, this is not even what Christmas is supposed to be about, right? We worry about so many things. We worry about things that in the end don't really matter. Or we get really impatient. Anybody find themselves being really impatient this time of year? You do, don't you? Sometimes this time of year is confusing and rough and hard, and some people it's really sad. And just the massive mix of emotions that comes in. For some people, this is a time of joy and excitement. Some people it's for a time of sorrow and pain. Just this past week, we had a funeral for a young man that was here. And I couldn't imagine what the Grizzard family is going through on this Christmas without their son physically here this year. Some of you have gone through that time. Some of you have been waiting and waiting and waiting for that promotion or that job, or you've been waiting for something even more important. Maybe you've been waiting, as Abraham did, for a child that you just think maybe is never going to come. And it can be a really tough time. Or some of you guys are here and you know that there's goodness, but people just can't see the goodness. Like with Mary walking through the streets and I'm sure claiming to be a virgin that's pregnant. Could you imagine what she went through at that point in time? Could you imagine what all the scoffs were? Not even the scoffs, but probably the people that were wanting to punish her for what she had done, or walking up to her husband and having that conversation and knowing God's goodness. Could you imagine the possible confusion that's in there? as we have our sermon title, Christmas Confusion or Clarity, there is mass confusion when we don't set our eyes upon Jesus. When we struggle in life, when everything goes in, just like going up and looking for those presents this weekend and somewhat forgetting about what the season is truly supposed to be about. And I know some of you guys are expecting me to open my Bible up and tell you guys to turn to Luke chapter 1 or 2, right? Was anybody fully expecting for us to go into the book of Luke this week? A little bit. Yeah, it's like the stereotypical Christmas story, right? And we're going to be really excited about the Christmas story because I'm going to tell you that there were shepherds in a field somewhere, and then, you know, the angels came down, and the awesomeness that was there and seeing them proclaim the birth of the Savior and see Mary and Jesus in the manger and all of these things. And we're going to talk about all the things that we talk about each and every year. And then you realize that Kirill's preaching, and we're going to do something a little different. We're going to go totally different from there. Ralton and I have a tendency to say we're going to go in different parts, and we're going to pick out, and we're going to show Jesus, because the scriptures are full of Jesus, whether you start in the first verse of Genesis chapter 1 or you go all the way through Revelation. So let's bring Christmas to you through Genesis chapter 15. We're going to read the entire chapter. If you guys want to open up your Bibles, here's some bonus points for my youth kiddos. Who actually wrote the book of Genesis? And if you guys say God, yes, you are correct. But whose hand? I'll say it a little louder. Moses. Who wants to agree with my youth kiddos? Moses. Who's like, man, I don't want to raise my hand because I don't want to be wrong right here. Let's be honest. Yeah, I see over there. Yeah, we got Moses coming in, and he's telling the story of Abraham here. He goes, after these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. But Abram said, Lord God, what can you give me since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Abram continued, look, you have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house will be my heir. Now the word of the Lord came to him, this one will not be your heir. Instead, one who comes from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look at the sky and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to him, your offspring will be that numerous. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, Lord God, how can I know that I will possess it? He said to him, bring me a three-year-old cow, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So he brought all these to him, cut them in half, and laid the pieces opposite each other. But he did not cut the birds in half. Birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, a deep sleep came over Abram, and suddenly great terror and darkness descended on him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know this for certain, your offspring will be resident aliens for 400 years in a land that does not belong to them, and will be enslaved and oppressed. However, I will judge the nation they serve, and afterward they will go out with many possessions. But you will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. Then the sun had set, and it was dark. A smoking fire pot and a flaming torch appeared and passed between the divided animals. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, I give this land to your offspring, from the brook of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates River, the land of the Canaanites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Man, you guys get the Christmas story out of that? No, let's pray and see if we can. Lord God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for allowing us to dig in. And I thank you so much for showing us Jesus all the way from the first words that you breathe out until the last here. Lord, I just ask that you continue to bless us. Allow us to see Christ in this season that we celebrate. Allow us to truly celebrate the birth of our Savior. Lord, and let all the confusion and the things that this world tell us go away. And allow us to see clearly nothing but Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we start out here, and we think, wow, as I read this, this seems nothing like the Christmas story, does it? Anybody get like the Jingle Bells idea as we read through this? No? Nobody thinks like taking a bunch of animals, cutting them in half, laying them out, and running off, you know, buzzards and stuff doesn't just reek of Christmas spirit? Nobody? No? Anybody a little bit confused? I have some confusion things. Anybody watched Home Alone recently, the Home Alone movies? First two, after that, confused why they even made them, right? But there are things we talked about this morning in the Home Alone movies that as you're going through them, it's like that makes zero sense. Like when the guy opens the door and the torch is like burning down on his head and he sits there with like for like 30 seconds like, as it melts his skull away and you're like, just move, dude. Right? Like, anybody ever done the lighter trick where you like want to show your buddies when you're like in, man, I'm telling my kids and I know they're going to do this. But like you'd light the lighter and you'd go like, see, it doesn't even burn me. And then you guys go back and forth to see how slow you can go before you get. You know that he could have got out of the way and he's just standing there getting cooked. Or like Luke and I were talking earlier, or like whenever the one guy's barefooted, he goes through and there's like the glass ornament sitting there. And instead of like looking down that there's a whole floor of glass ornaments, he decides to act like it's like the little popping plastics on him. And like, I don't know why my feet are getting cut up. And you're confused, right? Total confusion. Sometimes whenever we get into these passages in the Bible, we get unbelievably confused on what exactly is going on here. How can this be good? How can this be awesome? As a matter of fact, one of the most confusing things for me is we sing these Christmas stories, our Christmas songs. Anybody have any favorite Christmas songs? Anybody? I'm going to come over here. It's probably going to squeak. I'm going to grab this thing up. This is a box drum, right? I got a question for you. I know we got at least a couple of newborns going to be happening before too long, right? Hey, that's kind of exciting news. Anybody excited for the newborns? Right? I just got a question. Is it possible that anybody ever like listen to Little Drummer Boy? I have no gift to give. I'm going to just ask, like week two, it's about 9:30. Little ones just lay down. Anybody remember those times? Anybody remember those times? Exhausted. Was anybody in week two like, man, I'm totally refreshed. That wasn't a dad. No, nobody is. But could you imagine if Ralton and I come in? Man, we don't have anything, but I'm glad they're asleep. Little Drummer Boy. I ain't got nothing. The song makes no sense. Makes zero sense to me. I have nothing to give, but I'm going to wake up your kid. And we're all like, oh, that's so precious. So awesome. I wish somebody would come in when my kids are asleep and wake them up too. I really want to hear them scream and cry. We don't do that, do we? And the reason is when we read these scriptures, it's not because there's actual confusion. It's because we don't have the true clarity of understanding what God is saying. It's not that God's out there just in a total mixed up area that we don't understand. It's because we're not focusing on Jesus. We're not focusing on the scriptures. We're not focusing on what's going on. See, Abram had went through that. As a matter of time, when we start this passage here, Abram's probably 84, 85 years old, somewhere in there. He has just went out and taken down four kings' armies and got, and he's come back home. He has done something that five other kings could not do. And now he's at home, and I'm sure he's worried about to death about the retaliation that's going to come from that. He's at home scared to death, doesn't know if he's going to get attacked, doesn't know what's happening. And then that fear comes in into all these other fears, right? And what happens whenever I don't have anywhere to give, when I don't have a son to give my possessions and pass down, I don't have an heir. And what happens when there's no land and then all of my family and all of these things just disappear and I'm 84 years old and I just went to battle and won, but I'm too late in life to be able to continue on. And God promised these things, but I'm not seeing these things and I'm confused. And now I got this little drummer boy coming in and waking up my kids right now. There's just total confusion that he's in. And God comes in and he sees, after these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. And he says something very comforting here. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. And he doesn't just mean from the four kings. See, there's this question. And I think I have the answer, or at least an answer that I can explain. Does anybody here believe that God can create a rock that is too big for him to be able to lift? We're all like, when we got that same question, right? And as I really pondered this question and I thought about this question, I came to the conclusion that absolutely, yes, he could. You say, well, how come? Then you're limiting God. No, because if God says that the rock will not be lifted, it won't be lifted. Why? Because when God proclaims something, it will happen. Factual. And it doesn't matter how big that rock is or how small that rock is. If God says this rock will stay here and it will be here forever, it will be. So when Abram comes in and he hears God said, I will be your shield. I am your shield. It's as good as done. You're shielded. It's done. It doesn't matter if there are all these questions on what if this and what if that and are you limiting this and what if God said it, it will be done. And your reward will be very great. And what is Abram's response to that? Anybody ever get in this shape where you're really worried about something and somebody tries to comfort you and then that's not like you just don't want to be comforted? Right? Abram doesn't want to be comforted in that situation because you're going to come up with other issues. Right? If anybody's been in a very serious relationship or married, you ever gotten in an argument and you think that you've got that portion of the argument and then something comes up from years ago? Right? You remember that time that you accidentally put the wrong creamer in my coffee? Right, and you get upset about that, and Abram says, he's worried about these four kings. He said, God says, well, I'm your shield. Oh yeah, well, you're my shield. Well, what about this? Lord God, what can you give me since I am childless? And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And so what he's saying is literally he has nowhere to pass anything down, so he's going to pass it down to one of the slaves, and it's going to go outside of him and outside of his ability, outside of his family. He has nowhere to go. It doesn't matter if he won in his mind. Who cares if we won? Who cares if we got these great possessions? Who cares if I brought Lot back? Who cares all of these things if I have nothing to pass down? I will just go away. 84 years old. God, you remember when you promised me the generations? You remember me when you promised me that you would love me, that you would care for me, that you would pass down my lineage? A lot of us on Christmas get in that same situation. God, remember when you said when I come into a relationship with you that you will save me, but yet I'm still struggling. My family is still struggling. We still have problems with depression. We have problems with drug addiction, or we have problems with financial stability, or we have problems with kids that go in ways that they won't, or maybe we have sickness or death or anything, and you remember all those things. You told me when I came into a relationship with you that all of that was going to be good. And you know what God says? Absolutely, it will one day be good, but it may not be today. We have such a problem with, we have to have the here and now. We go up to Turkey Creek and we see everybody just piled in there, and they have to have that gift here and now, today, to the point that they lose everything else that's around them. Abram had forgot that God had already granted him victory over his foes. God had promised him the shield to be his shield, and now he's saying, but what about an heir? I'm 84, 85 years old. What about my heir? Where is that? Now the word of the Lord came to him. This one will not be your heir. Instead, one who comes from your own body will be your heir. Remember, they actually, remember Sarah and Abram actually laugh about this situation, right? These are God's words. Instead, one who comes from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look at the sky and count the stars. If you were able to count them, then he said to him, your offspring will be that numerous. I fully believe here, and you say, well, how do you get Jesus out of this situation? I don't just believe that he's talking about just general kids. I believe that he is talking about that God's people will be born out of you, that they will be saved and taken care of. When he says that I will be your shield, that he is in a relationship with Abram, and if he brings his children up in righteousness and in goodness, in God's righteousness, that they will continue and there will be salvation. And the only way that this could happen, the only way that we could have goodness in this situation, is if Jesus is involved. And we know that pointing in every way, everything that we see in our life, is that where we gain our salvation is through our faith in Jesus alone and because of grace alone, right? And we talk about that regularly. And we say, well, how can Abraham have that? Well, he has. In the next verse, it talks about his faith. It says, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. We see it's not works. It's not the fact that he is going to go out and conquer these armies. It's not the fact that he's going to have an heir. It's not going to in the fact that he is going to do anything to earn this other than have faith in God. And in turn, his faith in God is that God will send a Savior to save him and all of his generations. That is the type of faith that Abram has. That is the reason that me and you can be counted in those stars, is because of God seeing Abram's faith and God being faithful to his word. And you said, okay, so far we have these words. We have Abram being faithful, Abram believing, but we also know Abram failed. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest problems that we see is that Abram actually had Ishmael, and because of that, even today, we have this massive fight with what came out of that lineage. Does anybody know of another major world religion that came out of Ishmael's lineage? Do what? Anybody? The Muslim faith. They trace their lineage all the way back to Ishmael. I work hand in hand. One of my electricians at work is a devout Muslim, and he will tell you they believe almost everything that we believe up until Jesus being the Son of God. They even believe Jesus is coming back. They just don't have the key. And that is, Jesus is God. Jesus is the Messiah. So we have a majority of the world that knows these stories to be true, but yet sinfulness separates us. And he talks about all the things, and then he says, yeah, but what do I do if I don't have the land? And he says, well, I'm going to give you the land as well. Not just the lineage, but also the land. I'm giving you all of these things. And yet, still in this depressing, confusing time, there comes this story that just comes right out of the... I know we're right here in the Old Testament, but this is like a real Old Testament type story where you can dig in. Some of the younger guys are like, if you guys are back there, you guys are playing with the Legos or whatever, here is a cool story that I want you guys... Do you guys like the blood and guts and all that stuff type stories? I know you do. I know you guys do. Here is one of those situations in which God tells Abraham, he says, how will I know that I'm going to possess all of this land and all of this lineage? And he said to him, bring me a three-year-old cow, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Sounds like we're about to have a good meal, right? No? No, okay. So he brought all these to him, cut them in half, and laid the pieces opposite each other. So he makes an aisle way, a walkthrough way, half of an animal here, half an animal here. They have been cut into pieces. Sounds disgusting. Is that what somebody said? Yeah, that's what I heard. It sounds disgusting. So he cuts them down, and he did not cut the birds in half, but the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, a deep sleep came over Abram, and suddenly a great terror and darkness descended on him. As we look in this situation and say, what in the world? I am so lost. I don't understand. How can this be a Christmas story? How can this be goodness? Well, if you go back, this would have been a cut covenant. This would have been something that people would have came through that would have been unbelievably important. So if Ralton and I got together and said, we're going to make an agreement amongst each other, and this is an agreement that has to go through, this is something unbelievably important, we would have these animals, and they would be sacrificed, and they'd be cut in half, and we would both walk through, and we would share the portions of the covenant that we are speaking. We would talk about the covenant. We would make that covenant between each other amongst the animals that were cut. And as we walk through, we would know that these animals signified what would happen to us if we broke our promises, if we broke our contract together. That we would be torn apart, that we would be dismantled. It was as big of a contract as you could possibly get. This was unbelievably important here. And as we look into this, and we look into the descendants, and we look into how they could be saved for eternity, and we wonder what is going on. Why is this? Why do we have this confusion? All of a sudden, it says a deep sleep fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know this for certain, your offspring will be a resident aliens for 400 years. He tells him all about this. And it says, when the sun had set and it was dark, and after Abram had run everything off, and there was nothing less, when the sun had set and it was dark and he had waited and waited, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch appeared and passed between the divided animals. So we've got this this pot, this oven that you'd have. Has anybody seen like a Dutch oven style, you know, and there's smoke coming out of it? You see the smoke and then you see this flaming torch going through. And he's walking through. This is God walking through the covenant alone. Abram's just watching. The confusion that comes in. Wait a minute, why is nobody else in here? Why is nobody else? Why am I not a part of this? It's because there's nothing that we have. The confusion that comes in. As a matter of fact, when you read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. When we don't understand, when Abram's sitting here and he's got all the problems, submit to God, lean on him. And what does God do? He comes into a covenant with Abram and he says, you can't even walk here. As a matter of fact, and that's signified through the entire Bible, we see as during the day that when they were walking through the wilderness, when they were trying to go to the promised land, that the Israelites would be guided with smoke and fire at night. You see God speaking through the burning bush in fire. This is God walking through, showing Abram that this is nothing that you could do to be a part of this, but this is me. And it also signifies with the animals that are cut there that I will be torn apart if I come out of this covenant. Next week we get to talk about the second part of the covenant here, and that the generations and generations lead to Jesus. That literally was torn apart, that was cut and consumed for us. That is the true story of Christmas. And I say that if it wasn't for the fact that every portion of the Bible spoke of Jesus from the beginning to the end, everything points to Jesus. So in these holiday seasons when we have confusion, one of the things that I think of in this time of year is the Halls and I had some discussion this week, and we said we would really like to, we would really like to go down to Florida, right? And get away from the cold weather. But here in the mornings, I noticed that in this past transition in the fall, that we had a lot of fogginess, right? We had a lot of fogginess and we had a lot of hard times. And now we have roads that are getting slippery and windshields that are slippery. And it reminded me of talking about going to Florida, of this song. Luke, do you have that song that you can play for just a second? I'm all about the songs today. You might know this song. It will be stuck in your head probably the rest of the day. Just gonna let y'all stick there, okay? Stuck in your head the rest of the day, you think? Yeah. as I hear that song, and we were thinking about that, and one of the things that he says in that song is, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. It doesn't say that the obstacles are gone, right? Says I can see him more clearly. We're talking about if you've ever went through town in the foggiest of mornings, and you've gone the same way that you've went every single morning. You slow down for a little bit, don't you, because of that fog, because you can't really see where we're going. See, without Jesus in our life, and without God coming down and speaking to Abram and saying, I'm going to give you a son, when you can't see it when you're 84 years old, I don't know where it's going to happen. Bear in mind, it's another about 15 years before the son comes. It's another 15 years. It's not just like right now, right now. In our time, if we had to wait 15 years for something, we would just count it off as gone, right? We would be done. We have mass confusion in our holidays, in our promises, in our spiritual walk, in everything whenever Jesus isn't there. We have mass confusion when God isn't a part of it. When God is absent from our lives, then we're just walking around in the confusion, in the rain and the fog. And we could have been on this path 1,000 times. And we talked about going up Bluff Road. If anybody's went up Bluff Road, it can be a little bit tedious to go up and down at times. And when it gets really, really foggy or really, really wet, the obstacles don't change. The curves are in the exact same place. There are deer still there. All of those things still happen. The difference is whenever it is nice and it's clear and we have understanding and there's no fog and there's no rain, that we understand those obstacles and we can see them before we get to them. See, whenever we have God in our life, when Abram has all of his problems in his life, when even Mary, as we'll talk about some next week, when Mary sees all the issues, as we talked about earlier, when everybody says, how can you still be a virgin that is pregnant? How can all of these things happen? God gives us clarity through Jesus. He does it with John the Baptist leaping in Elizabeth's womb when Jesus' presence comes in. And Mary sings her song of excitement and of knowledge. He does it when Abram sees the covenant walk through with the smoke and the fire, and he sees God's presence there, and he sees his promises, and he knows when he awakes, even though he fails, and though we say the very next step is he goes in and says, well, I guess I'm going to have Ishmael too. Even though he fails, he sees Jesus. Whenever we get into these holidays and all we can see is the confusion of the presence and the, I feel like the Grinch here, and all of those problems and all of the things that we have, when we focus upon Jesus, everything becomes clear. From Genesis 15 to Luke to Revelation, Christmas is about Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for allowing us to dig into your word, for us to be able to study your word, Lord. And I thank you for Abram and the times that we can read his life and how you work through his life, Lord, that we are able to be descendants of his because of your covenant with him, Lord. I thank you for promising Jesus then. I thank you for fulfilling that promise with Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And Lord, we look forward to fulfilling for Jesus to come back. I thank you for all that you do in our lives. Lord, if any of us are hurting or confused or lost, allow us to have clarity. Allow us to see Christ in this Christmas. Allow us to know that our faith, just as Abraham's was, brings upon righteousness that can only be given by you. Lord, I thank you for all that you do in our lives. Keep us close. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.